of worship here this Lord's Day. Welcome those who are visiting with us. Good to have you, and welcome to all in through in the church building and those who are here in the church hall, and hello to others who will be listening then later on at home. This week is a special week in the life of our church because we have a wedding coming up, and that's due to take place on Wednesday at 12:30. Rebecca Hannah's marriage to Philip Coulter. Rebecca has been teaching Sabbath school class for the last couple of years here, and we have a little presentation for Rebecca. And just like the Olympics, you have to come and get it yourself. So this will be a wee bit of practice for you for walking to the front. If you would make your way up here, and this is just a little thank you gift for your work as a Sabbath school teacher. And we wish you every blessing for your wedding on Wednesday and married life together in the future. Thank you, Rebecca. The announcements that I have then for this week. Evening service here tonight at 7:30. The services today should be uploaded to the church website and copied to CD, and CDs distributed tomorrow. There's no midweek meeting this week, but the wedding takes place on Wednesday at 12:30. Now, there isn't any facility for anyone coming to come inside to watch the wedding as a non-guest, but you're welcome to come to the car park to watch the bride going in or going out as you wish. 12:30 is the scheduled time of the wedding, and of course that will be the time that Rebecca will be here for. Then on Saturday afternoon, there's a Northern Presbyterian is taking place in Ballyclabber tonight. RP Church outdoor event. If the weather's really bad, it may have to be cancelled, but we'll trust that the weather will not be really bad. Then next Lord's Day, God willing, the services are due to be led here by Mr. Brian Dunwoody. Brian's an elder in our Limavady congregation. He's also an interim elder in Enniskillen, and he is the new he's the new person in charge of the mission committee, taking over from Ossie Graham. I was booked to take the services in Newton Ards next Sabbath day. However, there's been a change to that, so I'm only in Newton Ards in the evening. In the morning, I'm due to be in Woodstock in Belfast. David McCulloch, the minister there, is in charge of Newton Ards. He was due to have a baptism a few weeks ago in Newton Ards, but the father of the child to be baptized tested positive for COVID, so that had to be postponed, and David has rearranged it for next Sabbath day. So I'm to be in Woodstock in the morning and Newton Ards in the evening. Then the other announcement I want to make is in regard to 2 weeks' time, the 29th of August, and it's our hope to be able to have a church picnic that day after the morning service. And if that can go ahead, then we would have just a short afternoon service once the picnic's over. We may be able to have that outside if the weather was suitable. And if we're outside, we could sing more psalms than we're in the habit of singing at the minute. That we'll not know about that until nearer the time. But that's the hope on the 29th of August. There wouldn't be an evening service as such. There'd be a short time after the picnic. Well, those are the announcements that I have for today. We come to worship God now, and we do so joining together in prayer. And if you're able, please stand now as we pray. Gracious God in heaven, we draw near today to worship you, and we come thankful that it is a great God that we come to worship. We praise you, Lord, that you're not some feeble little God who can't do very much at all, and who has never done very much at all. We thank you, Lord, that you're not like us. You are not corrupted in any way by evil. And Lord, we praise you that you're the God who is perfect in everything that you are and everything that you do. We thank you that you're a God who is full of mercy and grace. And we thank you, O Lord, that we are a people who are greatly privileged. We thank you for the blessings that are ours. We praise you that we have heard the gospel. We thank you that we have the word of God. We thank you for the blessings of our involvement in the Christian church. And we praise you, God, for every way in which you have shielded us from evil, every good path that you've led us along, and all the good gifts that you've provided for us day after day in our lives. And we return thanks to you, O Lord, for you have been good to us. We come to worship you today. We thank you, God, that you're the God who saves sinners. And we are sinners, and we need to be saved. And we pray, O Lord, that we will know that salvation. And we pray, O God, that you will work in us by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will not leave us to our own thoughts, leave us to our own resources, and leave us in our sin, leave us in our spiritual death. But we pray that we will be alive in Christ, united to Christ, united to the people of Christ. And we pray that you'll help us in this service of worship today. May we be able to look to your word and know that that is how you speak to us. May we be able to turn to you in our prayers and address our thoughts and words to you in our praises. We ask, Lord, for your help now. Be among us by your Holy Spirit and do your good work for your own honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us read together from the Word of God. The scripture reading is from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Philippians, and the second chapter of Philippians. In the Church Bible, it's page 1043, and I want to read the whole of the second chapter of Philippians. So let us hear the word of God. Philippians chapter 2, from the beginning. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed, he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. And we end our scripture reading there at the close of Philippians chapter 2. I'll just say a few words to children who are listening today. We've read here in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi in chapter 2. And in this chapter, Paul reminds us of what happened to the Lord Jesus when he was in this world. And Jesus was the only sinless man who has ever lived. But Jesus was put to death on a cross. And the Bible tells us also about sad things and difficult things and hard things and painful things that happened to many people who were followers of Jesus. And at the end of Philippians chapter 2, we're told about a man called Epaphroditus. And he was a Christian. He was part of the church in Philippi. But he was a man who became very ill, and he was very seriously ill, and he nearly died with the illness that he had. He's a Christian, but he was a very sick Christian. And he didn't get sick because he had done something wrong, and God was wanting to punish him or anything like that. He got sick when he was doing something that was a very good thing to do. He was seeking to help his own church, and he was seeking to help the Apostle Paul, who was a prisoner. But he got very badly sick. And God doesn't promise us in the Bible that if we follow Jesus, that we'll never get sick. God doesn't promise us that nothing will ever go wrong in our lives, or we'll not have any difficult days. And it hasn't been the case in recent months that there's been no one who's been a Christian who has got ill with COVID-19 or has died from it. And this man, Epaphroditus, he was very ill. He was close to death, we're told in Philippians 2. But we're also told that God was merciful to him. And God made him well again. And the Apostle Paul was really pleased that God had done that and God had answered his prayers for this man. But this was a man who was seeking to serve the Lord Jesus, but he became seriously ill. And this is the way it is sometimes. It was good for this man to have this illness and to have gone through that experience. God used that for good in his life. And whenever Christians are ill, it is always for some good reason of God. But Christians do get sick. And here we have one of many examples that we find in the Scriptures of someone who was serving God and in the midst of that became ill, and yet the Lord was merciful and made him well again. And this is the God that we deal with, the same God who was there in the days of Epaphroditus. So Christians can get sick, but God is able, if he so desires, to make them fully well again. Now we're going to speak to God in our prayers now, and we'll be praying for the wedding that's coming up here on Wednesday, and for Philip and Rebecca as they enter into married life. And I mention also for your prayers, Reverend Stephen McCollum, minister in Stornoway Reformed Presbyterian Church, has been called to the Brady congregation in our Western Presbytery. I think that just happened last Sabbath day. So we can pray for Stephen and his wife Brenda in this call that has come to them. And then the installation service for Reverend Harry Coulter in Enniskillen, that's been scheduled for Friday the 10th of September. So we can pray for all that happens between now and then. And we can remember in our prayers and be praying for Brian Dunwoody, who's due to preach here next Sabbath, and also remembering Stephen Fallows, who was here last Sabbath and then had an accident very shortly after the morning service. We come to God now in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Lord, our Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you for how the Scriptures remind us of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the one who made himself nothing and took the form of a servant, humbled himself to death, even death upon a cross. We praise you for that Savior that you've provided. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder of the depths that Jesus had to go to in order to be the Savior of his people. And we pray, O Lord, that you help us not to be those who neglect such a great salvation, and such a great Savior. But we pray, O Lord, that we will cause it to be the case that, as far as we're concerned, Christ's death has not been in vain. The one who died for sinners, that death has been effective. And, O Lord, may our lives every day speak of those who gladly embrace that substitutionary death of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life. We pray, Lord, for the troubled parts of our world in these days. We pray for the people of Haiti as they deal with another serious earthquake and where many have lost their lives. And we pray for those who seek to provide help in the aftermath of that. We pray also for the severe flooding that they've had in Turkey. And we pray for the relief agencies there and for all who seek to help those badly affected by that. We pray for the people of Afghanistan and the great concerns that they have at the onward march of the Taliban. And, Lord, we pray for your mercies in that men would not wreak havoc and destruction and death before them. We pray, Lord, for Christians in difficult places. We remember Reformed Presbyterian believers in India, in Pakistan, and in China. Pray for them in the difficult situations in which they live and labor. And Lord, we pray that you'll give them strength and courage, confidence in you, and we pray that you'll bless their witness and that others would see that they have something better than is to be found in the other religions that people in those lands follow or the atheism that they follow. We give thanks, Lord, for the services here last Lord's Day. We thank you for Stephen and Harry who came to take the services. We give thanks that the accident Stephen had, that he didn't get seriously injured in that, and we pray that he will make a full recovery and not be hindered in any way by that. We pray for Harry. We give thanks for the call that he has accepted to Enniskillen. Pray for him and all that lies ahead there. We pray for the moving to Enniskillen, and we pray for the installation service and all that will follow on after that. And we pray for your help and your provision in this time of change for the Coulter family. We give thanks for the wedding coming up on Wednesday. We pray for Philip and Rebecca. We pray for them that they would enjoy the remaining time they have before the wedding. And we pray that the day itself will be a day full of joy and celebration. We pray, O Lord, that you will grant safe journeys to those who will travel to be here. And we pray that you will bless them as they go off on their honeymoon and into married life together. We pray that they will know your nearness and your wisdom. And we pray that you help them in all the adjustments that they will be making in the days to come. And we praise you, Lord, for your good work in bringing them together as you have done. We ask, Lord, for help for Stephen McCollum in the call that he's received to the church in Brady. And we pray that you will help him, O Lord, as he considers that. We ask that you would guide him clearly, help him to come to a decision about which he will be convinced, and that whether he stays or goes, that he will do so in the awareness that that's where you would have him serve you at the present time. We praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing throughout the world. We thank you for the advance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, that your word is not chained. We thank you that you're able to work mightily. And we pray that you would do so, O Lord. And we pray that as you have done in times gone by, that you would stir up your cause, that you'll bring people under conviction of sin, that you will strengthen your work among your saved people and send a time of revival and refreshing, that many others will be brought into the kingdom of God and would enter into the joys of salvation. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray that you will show us your truth in your word and that will be for our good this Lord's day. We pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you could turn in God's Word to Philippians chapter 2, the chapter that we read earlier, and I'm going to be referring to some verses at the end of Philippians chapter 2. Last Lord's Day, it was my nephew, Stephen, who was standing where I am now. I was in my bed at that time, suffering from vertigo, wasn't really able to stand hardly. Stephen intended to be with us at the manse last Sabbath afternoon, coming to us for lunch, and then coming back here to take the evening service in Karatz, but that was not the way that things worked out. Last Sabbath day, Stephen only made it about half a mile down the road before he ended up in a field rather than going around the course that the road follows on the way into Killyrammer. And he went over the hedge, and after he got to our house, then he went to an accident and emergency in the Causeway Hospital and waited there to get checked out. Thankfully, they didn't find anything serious wrong with him, and he escaped his accident with little damage done to himself. But what he planned to do wasn't what actually happened last Sabbath day. And at this service, I want to speak about a man that we read of in the Scriptures in Philippians chapter 2. And he also is a man whose plans did not work out as he intended. And the man's name is Epaphroditus. We read about him at the end of Philippians chapter 2, verses 25-30. Now, this is a minor character in the Scriptures. We don't know much about him, but God wanted us to know something about him because he has told us about him here in our Bibles. And here is a man that will be good for us to think about. Here's a man that will be good for us to remember in the times in our lives when our plans don't work out. I'm sure you will have many such times. There'll be times when you've planned to do things and you'll hope to do things, but you'll not do those things because something else will happen instead. And within these verses, we're taught about how we're to think about other Christians whose plans don't work out. People who, for one reason or another, as it were, have to come home early. So I want to speak first of all about Epaphroditus and talk about his mission half accomplished. Epaphroditus was a member of the church in Philippi. He was a trusted member of the church in Philippi. And he was sent by that church to make the long journey to the city of Rome, where the Apostle Paul was under arrest. At this time, it was house arrest that he was under. He wasn't in prison, but he was in a house, but he was confined to that house guarded by Roman soldiers. And Epaphroditus was sent by the church to deliver a gift to Paul. And as well as delivering a gift to Paul, he was to stay with Paul, and he was to be a helper to Paul, probably for as long as Paul continued to be a prisoner. And that was the plan. That was the intention of the church in Philippi. That was the intention of Epaphroditus himself. But that was not the way things worked out. We're not given a full picture, but it seems likely that at some stage on his journey to Rome, Epaphroditus took ill. And there were probably others who were with him on the journey, and they went with him to Rome, and they left him there, sick, and they went back to Philippi to inform the church that the gift had been delivered, but that Epaphroditus was seriously ill. And this was a serious illness. It was a life-threatening illness that Epaphroditus came down with. Paul says in verse 27, "For indeed he was sick almost unto death." And again in verse 30 he says, "That for the work of Christ he came close to death." So this was a very difficult time in the life of Epaphroditus. Being sick while you're on a journey isn't a pleasant thing today, but how much more so in the much slower journeys of those days. And now he was in a strange place among strangers, and he was seriously ill. And Paul says in verse 26 that he says that Epaphroditus was longing for all his friends back in Philippi. And he says that he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. And this refers to a very deep and troubled distress. It's like how it was for the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Epaphroditus was deeply troubled. And after a time of illness, Epaphroditus, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, he recovered. Paul says in verse 27, "But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." And so, over time, Epaphroditus recovered, and he reached the stage where he was well enough to travel again. And Paul decided that the best thing all round in this situation was for Epaphroditus to go back to the church in Philippi. Paul felt that that would be best for Epaphroditus. It would be best for the folk back in the church in Philippi who were concerned about him. And though it would mean loss for Paul, he was happy to embrace that loss. And he says in verse 28, "Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful." And it seems likely that the letter to the Philippians, it's now part of our Bible, that Paul sent that with Epaphroditus when Epaphroditus went back to his home church in Philippi. Epaphroditus was the postman who delivered the epistle to the Philippian church. And so this is how things had panned out in the life of Epaphroditus. He was a Christian man eager to serve the Lord, but he was returning home from the mission that he had set out upon. And as he made his way home, he would have had good reason within himself to feel that he hadn't really been any help at all to the Apostle Paul. He'd gone there with the intention of being a helper to Paul, but that wasn't the way he would have felt that things had panned out. He would have felt that he had really added to Paul's burden and to Paul's troubles, rather than helping to bear his burden or ease his troubles. And so, how was Epaphroditus to think about these things? How was he to cope with the twists and turns that had come about in his life? And how was the church in Philippi to look upon this man who was coming home far earlier than they had expected him to be coming home? Well, the Apostle Paul, in the things that he writes within his epistle, he deals with those matters. And he has words that teach Epaphroditus how he's to think about things. And he also has words to the church as to how they are to handle this returning servant. So I want to speak then about how Paul viewed Epaphroditus, and then we'll look also at how the church was to view Epaphroditus. So having thought about a mission half accomplished, I want to speak then about how Paul viewed Epaphroditus. In verse 25, Paul makes it clear to the church in Philippi that it was Paul's decision to send Epaphroditus home. It wasn't that Epaphroditus had quit. It wasn't that Epaphroditus had decided that the best thing would be for me just to go home. It was Paul's decision. And he says, "I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." And Paul, with great godly wisdom, writes the way he does at the end of this chapter about Epaphroditus and about how his case is to be handled. And we see in these verses how Paul thinks of Epaphroditus. See how he describes him in verse 25. He calls him, first of all, my brother. Paul sees Epaphroditus as being his brother in Christ. Now, Paul was of Jewish background. Epaphroditus was of Gentile background. But now they are brothers in Christ. And Paul views Epaphroditus not as a stranger, not as an acquaintance, not as just as a colleague, but he views him as a brother in Christ. He is my brother. And to let Epaphroditus see that that's what Paul thinks of him. I am his brother. And today, if you're a Christian, and if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have many brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're all across the nations of this world. Many of those brothers and sisters in Christ, you'll not meet in this life. You'll not be where they are, and they'll not be where you are. But they're there, and they exist, and they're real. And those will be the people that you will be with forever and ever. And you will know those people in God's good season. Paul says, Epaphroditus is my brother. Do you have brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you a Christian to have brothers and sisters in Christ? Paul also describes Epaphroditus as my fellow worker. Paul sees him as being one who worked along with him in the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, they were quite different. Paul was an apostle. Epaphroditus was a much more ordinary church worker and servant. But they were on the same team, and they were serving the same master. And Paul knew that what Epaphroditus had wanted to do for him, and what Epaphroditus had hoped to do for him, and he knows what he would have done if he had been able to do those things. And what he had in his heart, and what little he had been able to do, these things make him a fellow worker with the Apostle Paul. And that's what Paul calls him. He is my fellow worker. But that's not all. He describes him also as my fellow soldier. When there was a war to be fought, there was a war to be fought, Epaphroditus hadn't remained neutral. Epaphroditus hadn't sought to avoid conscription. He had put the uniform on. He had been willing to be seen clearly as being on the Lord's side. Epaphroditus was no secret believer. He was no closet Christian. He was a soldier for Christ. He had a target on his back, and he was willing to do that for Jesus Christ. Paul says he is my fellow soldier. Today in Afghanistan, there is great fear as the Taliban have advanced through the leading cities in the different districts of Afghanistan and have taken control of those cities. But you know, there's only about 75,000 Taliban fighters, and there's over 300,000 soldiers and policemen and whatever in Afghanistan. And Epaphroditus was willing to be seen as a soldier. He was willing to go to the hard places and be a target and be associated with Paul and associated with the cause of Christ. And Paul says, this man is no ordinary man. He is my fellow soldier in this great war. High words of commendation. He describes him also to the Philippians as your messenger. Epaphroditus was sent to Rome to find Paul by the church in Philippi. The church trusted him. He was their trusted messenger. And his job was to deliver the gift to the Apostle Paul. And he had done that. It had been hard for him to do it because he was so seriously ill, but he made it. He kept himself alive to get to Rome to hand this over to Paul. And in terms of his job as a messenger, his message got through in full. He's your messenger, and he did a good job as a messenger. And Paul describes him also as the one who ministered to my need. Now, Epaphroditus would have probably thought that he didn't do much at all for the Apostle Paul. He probably felt the opposite. Probably felt he'd been a hindrance to Paul rather than a help. But Paul says, here's a man who ministered to my need. And sometimes you can help people without even knowing that you've done so. And Paul here is saying, this man was a help to me. He was of benefit to me. There was value in him coming all the way from Philippi to Rome. And his presence has had a positive purpose. And no doubt these words of Paul in verse 25 are included in this epistle, partly for the sake of Epaphroditus himself. Epaphroditus would have heard this letter read in public and church, and he would have heard what the Apostle Paul thought of him. He would have heard what the Apostle Paul said about him, that he was Paul's brother, that he was Paul's fellow worker, that he was Paul's fellow soldier who had ministered to the Apostle himself. And so there was no place for Epaphroditus to be sulking at home, thinking of himself as being a failure. And the next time there was a job to be done, Epaphroditus wouldn't have to fade into the background, so that he certainly wouldn't be the one that would be doing anything of a public nature in future. Epaphroditus was not a failure. And perhaps if you feel that you've been a failure in serving Christ, perhaps you're not as big a failure as you think that you actually are. So we read in these verses about how Paul viewed Epaphroditus. And sometimes other people can view you in a very different way from how you view yourself. Sometimes people do a very, very valuable work in their home life, in their church life, in their life in society. And because it's what they do all the time, they don't see it as being something that is truly, truly valuable. And sometimes God needs to open our eyes to see what we're really like. And we can be far more valued by other people than we see ourselves as being valuable. Epaphroditus wouldn't have gone back to Philippi thinking, what a valuable servant of the church I am. Very opposite. But he was a valuable servant. And he was to see himself as Paul saw him and believe that that was the truth. To be encouraged by these words. So that was how Paul viewed Epaphroditus. And then, in the third place, I want to speak about how the church was to view Epaphroditus. We're not always very kind in the Christian church in how we speak about other people's efforts to serve the Lord. And perhaps Paul was aware of the danger of that. And so he very deliberately tells the church in Philippi how they are to receive back this man, Epaphroditus. It was important, Paul believed, that they would see this man in the right light. And so he gives words in verses 29 and 30. And this is the command of the apostle as to how they are to deal with this man who's come back early from Rome. And Paul tells them what they're to do, what they're to make of Epaphroditus. He says, receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. They had been concerned about this illness that Epaphroditus had. They knew he was ill, and they were concerned about him. And now, Paul says, now let him know that you're glad to see him, that you're glad that he's back among you. And Paul says, that you are to hold him in esteem. They were to respect Epaphroditus for what Epaphroditus had been willing to do and for all that he had done and all that he had gone through. And they were to look up to Epaphroditus rather than looking down upon him. They weren't to see this man as being a failure. They weren't to see him as someone who couldn't stick the pace or who hadn't been able to finish the job, but they were to esteem him. And they were to be glad that they had such a man among their ranks. And Paul, in verse 30, reminds the Philippian readers of the caliber of this man that is one of their own. And they're to hold him in high esteem because, for the work of Christ, he came close to death. New King James then says, not regarding his life. Alternative translation is risking his life to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. And Paul wants them to understand that in the task that Epaphroditus undertook, he had come close to death and he had risked his life for the cause of Christ. He had been thinking of the cause of Christ rather than thinking of himself. And when someone was needed to go all the way to Rome, when someone was needed to carry that responsibility of having the financial gift for Paul and going to be a helper to him there, Epaphroditus had been willing to do that. He was willing to take that risk. And in doing so, he came close to death. And so, Paul says, this man is to be held in high esteem. And even if he hadn't come close to death, even if there hadn't been the illness, he should be held in high esteem because he was willing to risk his life. It was a very dangerous thing to go and be associated with someone who was charged with serious offenses, someone who could be sentenced to death. That was a risk that Epaphroditus was taking. And he was willing to take that risk. And Paul says that men like that are to be held in esteem. And so Paul holds up Epaphroditus as someone who is to be commended, as someone that we should seek to be like. If we are followers of Christ, we should seek to be like this man, Epaphroditus, that we also would be willing to take risks for the cause of Jesus Christ. Sinclair Ferguson writes that Epaphroditus teaches us that there's no such thing as a risk-free life of faith. And he adds that it is no gamble to rest our hopes on Christ. Indeed, to fail to do so is to risk and to lose all. Those who don't trust Christ will lose everything that they have and do trust in. But those who trust in Christ, we have to be willing to risk what we have for the sake of Jesus Christ. And perhaps we are those who are inclined to a cautious type of Christianity that is not like the Christianity of Epaphroditus. He risked much. Perhaps we risk little because of what might go wrong. Well, Epaphroditus wasn't like that. He entered into great risk, great personal risk for the cause of Christ. And that's an example to us, and that's a challenge to us. It's easy to not put yourself forward for anything, but it requires courage to put yourself forward. And Epaphroditus showed that courage. And so Paul says, esteem men like him. And he teaches us as a church what we're to think of people who are willing to put themselves forward. And maybe things don't work out as they had hoped and intended. What are we to make of people who do take risks for the sake of Christ? Well, we're not to think of them as unwise. We're not to think of them as foolhardy, but we're to respect them because they've been willing to put their faith on the line. Earlier in this chapter, Paul writes in verse 4, and he says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And then he goes on to show how that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus didn't come into this world to look out for his own interests, but he came for the sake of the interests of others. And that's how it was with Epaphroditus. Whenever Epaphroditus went to Rome, he didn't go as a tourist to have a nice holiday in Rome. And he didn't go there looking out for his own interests, but he was looking out for the interests of Paul. He was looking out for the interests of the church in Philippi, and ultimately, he was looking for the interests of Christ. And we are to esteem highly those who give themselves to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not be critical of people where things don't work out, and they seek to do something for the Lord, but it just doesn't work out because of illness, because of circumstances, or whatever it might be. We're to hold those people in esteem, and we're to pray for ourselves that we'll be more like them, that we would have more courage in our hearts, that we would have more self-forgetfulness, so that we too could be fellow soldiers with the Apostle Paul. There are people who've been ready to go to battle, people who've been ready to put on the uniform before we were ever ready. And we're to esteem those people. We're to be thankful for those people. People like Epaphroditus are not to be dismissed as folk who sought to do something but weren't able to do it. Not to be looked down upon as those who had to come home early, but they're to be esteemed highly in the Lord Jesus. What Paul thought of Epaphroditus was nothing less than what Christ himself thought of Epaphroditus. My brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. Those are good things to be. It's good to be a brother or sister in Christ. It's good to be a fellow worker with other Christians. And it's good to be a fellow soldier in the warfare, the Christian warfare, that is ours in these days. Amen. Now, the psalm that we sing in closing today is various parts of Psalm 31. So if you could turn, please, to the words of that psalm. Psalm 31, it's a psalm of David, man who knew many, many troubles. He had many enemies, many difficult times to endure. The tune we use is Newington 123. Psalm 31, I'll read the verses that we'll be singing. First of all, it'll be 9 to 10, and then over the page 14 and 15, and then over the page again 23 and 24. So Psalm 31. Be gracious unto me, O Lord. I am in deep distress. My eye, my soul, my body fail with grief and heaviness, because my life with grief is spent, my years with sighs and groans. My strength has failed because of sin, and wasted are my bones. And then verse 14. But as for me, O Lord, in you I trust for my defense, and unto you, you are my God, I say with confidence. My times are all within your hand. O, do deliver me from hands of all my enemies and those pursuing me. And then the last two verses, 23. O, love the Lord, you godly ones, the Lord the faithful guards. As for the one who acts in pride, he'll get his just reward. So then, Be strong. Take to your heart the courage he will send. All you whose hope and confidence do on the Lord depend. In these verses, we're encouraged to acknowledge the reality of our own weakness and heaviness of heart. We're encouraged to look to the Lord, to believe that our times are in his hand, and he is the one who will deliver. And we are to be strong and to take to our heart that courage which he is well able to send. And always we are to be those whose hope and confidence depend upon the Lord. So Psalm 31, singing 9 and 10, 14 and 15, and 23 and 24. We remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction.
Be gracious unto me, O Lord, I am in deep distress. My soul, my body fell with grief and heaviness, because my life with grief is spent, my ears must sighs and groans, my strength has failed because of sin and wasted on my bones. But as for me, O Lord, in you I trust for my defense, and unto you are my God, I say with confidence. My times are all within your hand, O dear, deliver me from hands of all my enemies and those pursuing me. Godly ones, the Lord, the faithful God, as for the one who walks in pride, he'll get his just reward. So then be strong, take to your heart the courage he will send. All you whose hope and confidence do on the Lord depend.
Receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.